guys, and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Spin Global Podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah, guys, this is day 8 and 9, Lucy.
Yes, day 8 and 9.
So we're doing a combo pod, which is going to be fun.
I mean, we did it during Wimbledon.
True.
There was times where we did 2 days for one pod.
True.
Depending on the schedule and stuff. So yeah.
But yeah, a lot to get into. But before we do, though, I want to address something we forgot to mention after the Coco Gauff Emma Navarro match.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, shouts out to one of our listeners/followers. So Dana White. Let me just get your full name. So yeah, Dana White Lawrence. So she asked us basically what our thoughts were on the ball kids that rushed down.
Yeah.
I think it was like near where Navarro had her first match points.
And it was
the start of the game.
Exactly.
For me, the most disrespectful thing about that was the fact that Coco was serving. Like, it's not like I would have understood if Navarro was serving, because yeah, she's serving for the match. But the fact that Coco was serving, I was like, hang on a minute. Like,
I think regardless of who was serving, it would have happened, because what a lot of people don't know is that I actually saw that happening during Paolini's Mukova's match.
Yeah, yeah.
At Louis Armstrong. Yeah. So I think it's actually a thing.
Don't like it.
I don't like it either. I think we need to focus more on who the blame is and not really. I don't want people to make it seem as a thing of like, no one cares for Coco, or it's like a personal thing to Coco. Is honestly an issue at the US Open and the security and stuff. I don't know why they allow the kids running down. Because the thing is that when the match is on, you're not even allowed to go down the stairs till there's a changeover.
Yeah.
The first couple of days they allow you, because remember it was hectic. I was even saying, bro, this is too much. Why are people walking about while the match is on?
To be honest, I do think the US Open are more relaxed though with the whole walking down
the
stairs.
They're definitely more relaxed. But they were less relaxed as the tournament went on. The first couple of days they were, but now, especially at Louis, for instance, I'm always waiting. Arthur Ashe,
I think it's just after
Arthur
a game.
Ashe is from Arthur Ashe is from level 2. They're not that strict. But even that, there was times where I was at level 2 and then some woman came up to me saying, you can't stand there. I'm like, bro, I'm just trying to, I don't want to disrupt people and stuff. So I was like, let me just sit down in one seat here. But I just want to make it clear that it's not a thing where it's like personal to Coco, because a lot of things are already being thrown at her. But it's more of an issue of how the US Open is handling things. So in general, people should not be walking down up and down the stairs while the match is on. Yeah. I don't care if it's level 5, level 1, minus 1. Like, it's just so disruptive, not even just to play to fans and to players. Like, it's just annoying. Mm. So whoever gave the green light for these little kids to be running down.
I saw some adults in there too, you know. I'm not going to lie to you. I saw some grown people.
You parents need to control your kids a little bit, okay? Have some decorum. Act like you've been here before. Have some respect for everyone, for the fans, for the players. Like, come on, everyone's out here cussing at your children, crazy, telling them that they're rude and judging your parenting simply because you want to rush and do all autographs so you can go and sell it on eBay. Like, let's be for real as well. It's not like the kids are even keeping them signed balls. Their parents are taking to chop the money. That's the real thing.
Well, I'm glad we've addressed that, Lucy. So thank you. Well said.
But yeah, well so said. US Open, let's just hope that, you know, let at least after the match point, let them run down and be doing all the stuff, not during the match, because like, it was ridiculous. It was crazy.
It was mad.
I was even going to say something mad, but I'll keep it
let's keep that one. But yeah, let's get into the tennis. So day 8 now, Jasmine Paolini, Karolina Muchova. That was the 4th round matchup, which Muchova won in straight sets. Kind of caught me, I can say us, kind of caught us off guard, I'm going to say.
I had Paolini winning in 3. Yeah,
I think
Anastasia was the only one that was like, Mukova's actually might be a tough one. If I'm correct. Let me not put that on her, actually. Let me take that back, just in case.
But, yeah, like, obviously we understand, like, or say understand, we know Mukova is a talented player. Like, she has pedigree. Roland Garros finalist. 2-time Grand Slam semi-finalist. Here, even last year, she reached the semis. So, yeah, and she's kind of been unlucky with injuries of late. So she's kind of coming or working her way back and doing it quite quickly, to be fair. Like, she did reach as high as world number 8. So, you know, former top 10 player. obviously Paolini's number 5-4 in the race. So on course to well, fingers crossed to make the WTA finals, but more on that later on. But just on the match, like Paolini actually broke first, Lucy. So she kind of arguably started, you know, the better player. So yeah, she had a 3-1 lead in the first set. And then, yeah, Mukova then went on to win 5 games in a row. So coming back from 3-1 down to take the set 6-3. And then, yeah, she took the second set by the same scoreline. Just from what you can remember of the match, like, did anything in particular stand out to you? Or
I think for me, it was how, like, Mukova is a very tricky player. So for Paolini to, that first set, she was just breezing through, like, the first couple games anyway. She was really trying and stuff. But I'm not going to lie, like, it's kind of hard because I really feel like Mukova was just a better player overall. Like, it's no discredit to Paolini, but it was just Mukova was just, everything was just on point. Like, from the way she was hitting her shots to, you know, her serves. And the thing is with Mukova as well is, like, she's so smooth with it. You don't see it coming. It reminds me a little bit of Federer in terms of that reaction. Like, you know, Federer is just like smooth, whatever, but he'll do one brilliant shot. And I kind of feel like Mukova kind of gives me that same feeling. I'm not saying she's like him before people start.
I know what you mean. Like, just natural, the natural kind of
exactly,
talent.
Exactly. Yeah, the natural type of talent. But she just outperformed her, man, honestly. Especially at the net as well. I didn't realize Mukova was so great at the net.
Yeah, you've got good hands.
Really good hands. But yeah, and obviously Paolini is like, she's been getting better at it, but especially with doubles.
Exactly.
But yeah, Mukova just breezed through.
The only department that Paolini kind of, well, in terms of the stat sheet, Paolini had higher numbers with the first serves in. So she was 70% compared to Mukova's 64%. But in every other department, yeah, Mukova was better, basically.
Yeah, she was defending really well. Paolini had really struggled to break her. I think she only won like 1 out of 3 breaks.
Yeah, she only broke her once in the match, which was in the first set.
Exactly. Yeah, and like Mukova was just, you know, and it's not like Paolini wasn't close, she was close, but it's just Mukova just leveled up this. When it was time for her to defend, she was on point.
Yeah.
Like, it was hard for Paolini to break that. And I think for Paolini to do that, it was just, yeah, too much. And on top of that, and that's why during her press, I did ask her, like, yo, like, are you going to be resting? Like, or yeah, do you just keep on going to keep up the momentum? Because she's been grinding.
She has
been grinding.
It's been a long season.
A long season.
A successful one. Like,
exactly. It was worth it at the end of the day. So, I mean, hey, she still made it second week of a Grand Slam. It's still like a good, what's the word? A good like momentum,
100%.
A good, you know, it's not like she fell off completely.
It's a good showing.
Very good showing.
Before this year, she'd only reached the second round at the US Open.
Crazy. And she now
yeah, the fourth round.
And it's not like she lost to just anyone. She lost to someone like, you know, who plays really well.
Exactly. And coming
and got,
in,
you know, Mukova got a Grand Slams, right? Was it doubles?
No, she hasn't got any.
No, she hasn't got. No, she's made it to like
semi.
She's made
a final.
She's made finals. That's it.
Roland
Garros. Yeah.
And yeah, like at this US Open, like she's kind of played her way into form. Like Osaka was obviously a tough one in the second round, as in for Mukova. She won that in straights, although it was 7-6, as in it was a tiebreak in the second set. And then she beat Potapova in straights in the third round. And then, yeah, Paolini again now. And as we record this, she's currently 3 love up against the 22nd seed, Haddad Maia. So, I mean, she's probably looking to... I mean, yeah, she's looking at a potential another like US Open semi-final, which isn't really a surprise, even though she's not seeded. Like, but yeah, we've established she's been injured and like she's coming back. And she's also 28, so it's like these late bloomers. Like, it's a good look. Obviously, Paolini's also 28, but yeah, they're both having like good seasons. Mm-hmm. Like the latter kind of stages of their career. It's crazy to say that, being someone who's in their late 20s, but it's sport, isn't it? But with Paolini though, because like you said, like she's had a very good year. And yeah, I think this US Open is one she can definitely be proud of. And yeah, she finishes the Grand Slam cycle with 18 match wins, which is the most by any Italian woman in a season.
Crazy, so yeah. That's really
good. It's just really good numbers, man. We did go to a press actually afterwards, and obviously we were like the only English, well,
there was
one of three
yeah.
or four possibly English speaking journalists, the rest Italian, but a lot of Italians. And I love that, the fact that she's getting so much attention now. And we said it during Wimbledon, obviously it started at the French, but we weren't there for the French, but we saw it live and like in the flesh at Wimbledon and again here in New York. But yeah, we asked her about having Anna Wintour, Vogue editor, courtside watching her match.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, this is what she said.
I mean, I'm really happy about it. I met her 3 days ago and was a super excited moment, you know. It feels strange because I don't know. I don't know. It felt very strange, but I'm really also, you know, happy that she wanted to meet me and she wanted to chat with me. I'm really proud of it, and I don't know what to say, but I was happy that when I saw her there looking at my match.
So it was nice, like, yeah, to kind of get a little laugh from her. Not that you wouldn't really expect her to be down because it's Paolini, like she's always smiling and just in a good mood. But yeah, I guess surreal. Like, and we actually saw Anna Wintour, do you remember?
Yeah,
you were like, oh yeah, she's probably going to go and watch Jack Draper now because Jack Draper was on.
Yeah.
He followed Paolini, Mukova.
I think she was even sitting in his
box. She was in his box, exactly. But yeah, Paolini said, yeah, it was special, like to have, you know.
I mean, it just shows you the growth of it. And Anna Wintour, she doesn't watch just anyone.
Bro, low key, I saw her clapping for Paolini's points.
Yeah. Like, do you get me? Exactly. Yeah.
Like, now and again, I'd like my eye would kind of cut to her.
Mainly is the A star. List, like we've seen her less ever since Serena retired
and Federer.
And Federer, yeah, because those are her people. Mm. But obviously, yeah, for her to sit down and watch Paolini is pretty big, and also for her to watch and even for Draper, to be honest, it's huge. Like Anna Wintour sitting in your box, like that's massive. So yeah, shout out to her for pulling up. Now that we don't have to worry about the women's singles, who do you have? Because your pick and my pick were different.
My pick's still in there. I don't know about yours.
Who did you have? Oh, Pegula.
Oh yeah, yours is in there.
My
guess. Wow. So are we on course to meet in the final?
Maybe.
Mad.
Because I still got Sabalenka.
Yeah, we're on course to meet in the final. Can you imagine? That'd be hard.
That would be so funny.
Wow.
Hold on, I think my pick is definitely winning, bro. This is her time. Come on.
Navarro playing some good ball, man.
You didn't have Navarro, you had
Pegula.
But
I'm saying Sabalenka has Navarro next in the semi.
Sabalenka got this, man.
She looked good yesterday against Zheng.
Yeah, to be fair, Zheng was not playing her best.
Sorry, guys, but like this might be confusing, but we're recording this on, what's today, Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
Because I'm saying yesterday, like, I don't want to be confused.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
But no, Sabalenka looks very good. Obviously, the second seed, runner-up last year.
Exactly. She's won but us. No, she won I, us straight open this
listen,
year.
Listen, I feel the Americans are doing it, man.
Imagine if there's like an All-American winner. That would be so sick.
Be insane.
Which gives us a great way to talk about...
Great segue.
To talk about the match... That we had
a bit anticlimactic for the finish, unfortunately.
You hate it when people return.
But no, I take nothing away though, like from TFO and Dimitrov as well. So
for
Grigor Dimitrov, the ninth seed, went down to our guy Francis TFO in four sets.
Mm.
I thought it was a really high quality match, high level match, Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
TFO, like, he just looked so good in that first set. Like, I thought both men were serving well, but TFO was serving better because he was just holding much more comfortably than Dimitrov. Like, he was putting a lot of pressure on the Dimitrov serve.
Mm.
And in the end, it kind of, yeah, it paid off because he managed to break, I think it was a 2-2, and then took a 3-2 lead. And then...
To be fair, like, it was that first set, for instance, the... Like the first three each service game of like Dimitrov's Francis was about to break. Like, always juice. But yeah, his return was just great. But I think what was more impressive for me watching that match was realizing every single round, Francis keeps getting better. Exactly. And the thing is, he keeps getting better at so many different things. So you notice how great the serve was, so much better, like, this round, and then the round before that, we're talking about his movement. The round before that, we're talking about the way he was, like, the way his returns.
And then Shelton. And
then, exactly. Like, it's so good just seeing the improvement each time, but it just shows to you how much he wants it, and it just shows to you how great of a player he actually is.
Again, and just a lot of natural talent he has, man.
A lot of natural talent, and he's an all-round player. Mm. A lot of players, they specialize in one or two things, that they have two great things. I feel like with Francis, I've always said this, I think what I really enjoy about his game and his playing style is there's so many great qualities.
Exactly, yeah.
It's just about bringing the best out of one of them or two of them, depending who's he's facing. Mm. So he knew he had to return better against Ben, and he did that. He knew he had to, you know, do better in terms of like Dimitrov and stuff.
And I'm Popperin as well, because Popperin's a big server.
Yeah, Popperin's a
so
big
he
server.
He kind of carried
true.
On that theme.
Exactly.
Followed
yeah,
on from what
yeah,
he was
yeah.
doing with the on,
yeah.
in the Ben Shelton match.
Yeah, for sure. No, definitely. But yeah, honestly, it was just great to see. I think the match would have gone into five sets.
Because the second set was a bit tricky. So
yeah.
again, he made a good start. He broke first. It was 4-1 up in that set. Then there was a blip. Dimitrov broke back,
mm-hmm.
held, and then that set was where Tiafoe kind of struggled the most on his serve.
For sure.
So Dimitrov had a lot of looks at break. I say a lot. He had more break point looks in that second set than he did in the first. I don't think
yeah.
he had any break point looks in the first set at all.
Yeah, no. That was the only break, and he only broke that one once. Like, he had opportunities
exactly.
to convert, and
then,
wasn't able to.
And then it went to a tie break.
Mm-hmm.
Dimitrov took like an early, he had a mini break in that tie break, then Tiafoe leveled up, and then, yeah, Dimitrov ended up taking it 7-5 in the end.
Mm.
And I think you were a bit worried
I was.
In that third set.
Well, the third?
Well, when Dimitrov took the second, you're yeah, like, Eugene, this is
yeah,
is
yeah. Crowd. I was getting
again the
because,
crowd
because to be
as
fair,
well. Like,
yeah, because to be fair, Dimitrov leveled up. Like,
no, he did.
Really
he,
well.
played, he started
he
to play much
well,
better.
But I think I was scared at that moment, but I still had something because I was like, okay. I always said four sets. I knew that beating Dimitrov in straight sets would have been definitely difficult.
Mm.
And I feel like also a lot of the players are playing way better against Francis as well, because they're seeing how far. I think. Remember how I said, I feel like some people might not think that Francis
yeah,
is as serious
yeah.
right now. Mm. Now they're deep and it's like, oh, shoot. So
he's
they're giving
it
their all. But yeah, it was, I was just nervous.
Because I kind of disappeared for a bit, to get some food,
hot drinks.
Coffee, exactly. So I kind of missed a lot of that third set, but I did see Tiafoe break and I was like, yes. And then again, he never looked back, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
Dimitrov was unable to break him whatsoever.
Do you know what I've loved about Tiafoe this year, Lucy, at the US mm-hmm. Open? Like, because mm-hmm. obviously we watch a lot of his matches. There are times where like he might have a dip in terms of, I don't know, just he'll lose a set that he shouldn't have lost.
Yeah, yeah.
But then he'll eventually win the match when mm-hmm. it should have really been a straight set to
yeah.
win.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying with this match. I was like, yeah, he lost that second set, but the way he's picked up again in this third, he's going to be okay.
I think I'm with you on that. There was times where his first two rounds where it was like that, and I was so impressed at how quickly
he was able to just turn
on and go with it. I kind of feel like the Francis from a year, not even, I was going to say a year ago, but even, I mean, let's be honest, he's not had the greatest year till like the summer. And I feel like if he still had that old mentality, we probably wouldn't even be sitting here talking about him.
Yeah, definitely.
So the fact that he was able to make that switch so quickly and at the right time, at the right moment, is so impressive. But it also shows how much of a great player he really is.
Facts.
And also a massive shout out to David Witt, because baby, like this partnership looks like is
something's going on.
Something's going on. I don't 100%. Know what he keeps on saying, but
it's
yeah,
working.
it is working really well, because ever since they've been starting working together, it's been incredible. But it showed that David was able to take out whatever Francis had in him to bring him to this position again, because who would have thought with how his season started, how he will end up you know, going through a semi-final of the US Open. Again, I'm not saying he was never able to make it, but considering how his season went till this summer, mate, come on.
So this is his second semi-final in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just on the match to conclude. So Dimitrov did end up going off with the trainer at the end of that third set.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, did he have the trainer on like in the middle of the third set? And you're like, no, he just came on at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, here we go. And then the second set, the fourth set, didn't look the same as in Dimitrov.
At all.
Like, he just wasn't moving the same.
He was not moving.
Uncomfortable.
He literally was not moving. And I remember saying, like, yeah, he's going to retire.
TFO broke immediately because TFO started that set on serve, held, and then broke in the second game. And yeah, I was like, yeah, this doesn't look good. Mm. And I think it got to 4-1. And then, yeah, Dimitrov basically called it after that. So, I mean, TFO was leading, wasn't he? Like, he won the match, really.
But obviously,
it goes down as a retirement.
Yeah.
And definitely, like, speedy recovery to Dimitrov. I don't even think he knows, like, what the actual issue was.
Yeah, they kept trying to, like, see it. But from what I was seeing, because I remember I was thinking either his hip or inner thighs because of the way he was stretching.
Yeah, it was the lower part of the body.
Yeah, and then when he was walking, like, to the press conference and stuff, like, I was looking at the way that he was walking, like, and stuff, and he was kind of like limping. So I think it's more of like a, I don't know, and plus because he did the medical timeout off court of the, that's why I was asking myself maybe it's the inner thigh there, because you know, obviously he couldn't do anything on court and stuff. But yeah, he said that he needed to check a little bit more to see like what it is. Like, the journalists were trying to get out of it, but he was like, I honestly don't know. Like,
shouts out to him too, because I liked how he was saying, like, yeah, take nothing away from Francis. Like, Francis played a good match. I love when players acknowledge that.
Yeah.
I feel like it's important.
Some players don't, but
I feel like it's important. We're not doing that, Lucy. Back to Big Fo, man. Like, it's a huge moment, Lucy. And to kind of go back to what you said about his level, that's something he doesn't get enough credit for, in terms of, we know he's a good vibe, he's a good time. Do you get me? He's got all the energy.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur Ashe, American, like, draws the crowd, like, brings people in. But there's also an incredible amount of talent there as well, which I don't feel like he gets enough credit for. And that is
really
our job.
He really doesn't.
To make sure.
They like to credit him so much for bringing in the crowd and calling him an athlete, when there's so much more from Francis. There's a lot more than people.
He's got so much ability. And like you said too, like, sometimes there are so many things he can do on the court. Like, he doesn't need to be doing as much.
Exactly.
He can just maybe do two or three things and win a match.
Mm-hmm.
But because he's got all of this talent, it's like, yeah, like, he feels like he needs to show it. Although now I do feel like he's playing more within himself and knowing that, yeah, I don't have to do too much, like, to get past certain guys. Like,
he doesn't need, for example, like, one thing that I found impressive during the Dimitrov match was the way he was serving. Like, I can't describe it. He serves was just so perfect, and yet you look at the thing, you're like, the speed of it.
Yeah.
It's like 100.
Just finding a spot.
Yeah. That's what he knows exactly where to hit it and how to hit it. And to me, I feel like that is so impressive, because a lot of times people focus on the power and the speed. And I'm not saying that's not important, but I think I personally find it even more impressive when it's like you can hit these type of shots and you're looking at the speed board and it's like nine. Yeah, it's looking like you just...
It's the accuracy, man.
Exactly.
And also that does kind of catch players off guard too.
Exactly.
When they're expecting a big serve.
Yeah.
It's like, oh shit, he's putting a...
Yeah, he's putting
a
yeah.
Ball. Like, yeah. So it's tactically, again, he has great tactical nous.
Yeah.
Which is, yeah, for me, that needs to be kind of spoken about and, like, highlighted more.
For sure.
But, yeah, looking ahead to the semi-final, Lucy, man, an All-American affair. This is Taylor
All-American.
Fritz's first Grand Slam semi-final, which I'm quite shocked by.
I'm not too shocked, you know, because Fritz only started really building up, let's say, at least a year or two ago.
True.
Before that, Fritz was not... Bro, we were not talking about Fritz.
But I'm saying...
Not in a bad way.
In terms of juniors, like, he he's a junior Grand Slam champion.
Yeah, but that's...
But I know juniors don't always translate.
Yeah,
but
like, no, that's different. I'm talking about now.
And he's been a top
now.
10 or as high as 8, I think, or 7.
But all I'm saying is, I to me, is not... I feel like the timing makes sense.
Yeah.
I just, at the time it makes sense because he's been talked about more. He's been playing more. He's been focused. He's been doing this thing.
Definitely.
I feel like the timing of it to me is not too shocking. But it's great. Is wonderful. I think I loved it when Francis said during his press that he's so that it actually spoke about it. Like they
yeah,
were like,
yeah, exactly.
We all spoke about him, Tommy, and everything. Like they were like, yeah, this is it's our time. Like we're the one that's going to be doing something different.
And it really does feel like that as well. Like
it's so exciting
in New York. You feel it
100%. But I think for me, it's like finally, like we're getting more of like. The different men like
coming through
and you know me, I've been saying it from years, even when Federer and Nadal were still like playing consistently and stuff, like bro, I need these new youngins to come
step it up
like shout and that's why like I was so, I don't know if you saw it because I know you're not as active as me like on Twitter, but so many people were like, oh, everyone would be so happy if Dimitrov won this slam and da 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 da. How's that? Respectfully.
I get it though, because again, he.
No, Eugene.
No, Lucy. He was taught, and I said it to you during the match. He basically modeled his game on Roger Federer. Like, and when you look at him, like the shot kind of what's the word? His shot creation, it does look like Federer. The one-handed backhand, the move, the smooth forehand, yeah, the way he moves around the court.
Okay,
like,
okay. I hate
it's
all
very modelled on Federer.
I hate all of that, but what does that have to do with him having
to win?
Yeah,
because people looked at him and thought, oh, yeah, this guy's basically the next Federer. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
And he hasn't quite lived up to that in terms of winning
exactly.
A slam.
You had your chance. You can't be coming now when you're like, when
early
you had...
30s.
Come on. After everyone is gone, you're now saying, and now everyone is like...
But no, Lucy, credit to him though, because he's number 9 in the world.
No, don't get me wrong. No. I find it really impressive how this year, for instance, and I think he started playing like better from mid last year to like this year. Credit to him, of course. But it's like, come on, guys. Like, no. The way I see it personally, shout out to Dimitrov, and this is no disrespect to Dimitrov or whatsoever, but... The way I see it is you had your shot. And to me personally, if he beat Francis and then made it to the final and won the slam, to me, I would have been like, this is embarrassing.
Wow.
Personally.
Wow.
And not just to just Dimitrov, but to the actual, on the ATP. Because I'd be like, why is this man beating you lot?
Damn.
And making it to the final?
Do you get what? Because he's
unless,
a talent.
Unless, like with Djokovic, it makes more sense because we're talking about a 20. He holds the highest record. He is whooping everyone. It doesn't matter who's in front of him. He's playing better at most times. This season has not been the best for him in a while. Like we can say that, but
apart from the Olympics, but yeah.
Apart from the Olympics, exactly. But to me, it wouldn't have been a good look on Dimitrov and the ATP. So no, thank God he, you know, is not going too far. But credits to him at the end of the day.
No, big time.
The fact that, you know, as his age and stuff, he's where he's at. But the way I see it is, he had his shot, man. Right now, let's focus on the youngins, the Americans, Fritz and Tiafoe. I cannot wait for Friday. It's going to look crazy. USA.
Shouts out to our girl Ava Wallace as well from the Washington Post. So she kind of, before her question, she basically highlighted the fact that the head-to-head is 6-1 in Fritz's favour, which is tough.
It's very tough.
It's tough. So Tiafoe has that one... The only time he's beaten him is the first time they played, which is back in 2016 at Indian Wells. And yeah, he's not beaten him since then. And they played, obviously, 6 more times. But I loved his answer as well because he was like, listen, this is different.
It's like, a different
Arthur
Francis.
Ashe, US Open.
This is completely
semi-final
different.
That they're playing to reach a final. Like, this is going to be a battle.
I don't know if Fritz could handle that pressure.
Lucy, this is what I'm saying to you. And he on paper, he should win because he's the higher seed. Obviously, the head-to-head as well is like in his favour. But then also, you could also argue and say, hang on a minute, he's not been here before. Tiafoe has.
Exactly.
So like, it's very even. And that's what I love about it. Like, it's a very even matchup.
Very even.
I'm gonna say this won't be straight sets for Tiafoe.
Oh no, it's not. It's not. I've already said
it's gonna
not
be
gonna
a scrap.
Be straight,
I'm gonna say five.
Is five?
I'm gonna say five.
Okay, I'm with you on that one.
I'm gonna say five.
We're talking about a semi-final.
This is what I'm saying, man.
Like, it's going to be crazy. Do you know what I'm actually really looking forward to?
Mm-mm.
you're not gonna like this what I'm gonna say, but shout out to all my girly girls. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see the looks the from fits. The girlfriends. Listen, the brands, the second Dimitrov said I retired, these brands were on their emails and phones because this is good promo for them. Everyone's going to be watching this final, 100%. The semi-final, sorry.
Listen, tennis and fashion is a thing, man.
Tennis and fashion and is a thing. People need to get familiar. And like, we're talking about, like, Taylor Fritz's girlfriend has been doing a lot in terms of fashion. I feel like with Ayan is starting a little bit more now.
Yeah.
Like Taylor Fritz's girlfriend, she took it to a whole nother level. Ayan is starting a little bit. I feel like this US Open, she's done a lot more because I've been seeing like the collab that she's been doing and stuff.
Yeah.
She's definitely been doing a lot more this US Open. Though,
she was like, because I remember you posted something.
It was her outfit.
Oh,
Taylor Fritz's girlfriend, for example, she does something with Wimbledon. She does like, she has like a fashion series thing with Wimbledon.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Like I think she talks about people's looks at Wimbledon
and
she is stunning. She knows how to, she has style. Like Ayan has, like,
and she actually played tennis
and like, she played exactly tennis. She's like, exactly, so boy, believe me, these brands are
you cracked me up when you said that on the way home last
bro,
night.
I like, cannot yeah, I can see it. Wait, because I just, like you said, tennis and fashion just goes hand to hand, and we don't have a lot of the girlfriends who are into fashion and beauty like that. I really feel like Taylor Fritz's girlfriend is probably the number one who, in terms of like get reach. That exposure and reach. I feel like this will be, I think after the semi-finals, I won't be surprised if we see Ayan everywhere with them beauty brands, and think rightfully so. Aside from the fact that she's stunning, she has style. So yeah, looking forward to that. Indeed. I will talk about that on the next pod. Don't worry, girls. Because I was like, oh, the girly in me is so excited.
Oh my God.
But yeah, it's gonna be a good one.
Shout out to the bad girls out there.
I know everyone's talking about all American semifinals, but respectfully, guys, it's gonna be a black man in the semifinals of US Open playing on Arthur Ashe Stadium. This is a black people live stream.
Mad.
And I was so excited about that. And you know, I had to ask Francis, like, how does it, I mean, you know, you're getting all American, like the past year, that's all we've been, all the American players been asked about, like, yeah, all American, and now we're getting all American semifinals, which is great, but how is it seeing the rise of African Americans and also black people from other countries and stuff, and if that motivates him or puts more pressure, especially considering that, you know, he was one of the first to break through, like, this is his second semifinals of the US Open, and this is what he had to say.
Yeah, that's great, man. It's great. Like, you see, like, you know, especially for me in my area, I mean, I see Haley here, you know, she should have qualified. Robin, you know, Montgomery. You have this Italian-American girl, Grant, or something like that. I've seen her around. It's pretty cool. You see Matt Forbes, you know, one Kalamazoo. He played in the main draw here. He had a funny celebration I saw on Instagram. The young dudes are different nowadays, but yeah, man. I mean, it's cool, man. It's cool. And when those guys, you know, see me, you know, they see me as, you know, like a, you know, role model, you know, guy that, you know, want to aspire to be, and that's a pretty cool seat to be in. Obviously, as you guys know, I'm not a guy that takes himself too serious by any means. So it's funny, you know, being in that seat, but at the same time, you know, you got a responsibility to do when you're out there. You know, compete and enjoy, and because things you do, you know, those kids are gonna mimic, and you know, want to be how you carry yourself, how you approach the game, you know, how you compete, what you do out there, things you say in the interviews, they're gonna want to mimic that, and you know, and be like that. So it's great. And then from a big picture standpoint, you know, I mean, I got, you know, so many people that would never walk tennis a day in their life coming to matches because, you know, I'm playing. You know, you've seen so many cool people come out to watch, and just normal people that would just never really watch tennis and now are like fans of it because I'm playing. It means a lot, and it's helping the game. And I generally think when I'm playing well, it helps the sport for sure.
Yeah, it was a great answer, man. And I loved it so much. I actually posted it on our socials.
Mm-hmm.
And probably one of the most detailed answers he gave.
Yeah, for sure.
Like during that presser.
Which I appreciate because I'm not going to lie. That question has been on my mind for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a great question.
I was
man.
So scared of asking him that.
Why? He gets it.
No. Like, I wasn't scared. I knew Francis would even be more than happy to answer that because Francis He's been showing down. he's unapologetically black. Mm-hmm. Like, he's proud of showing his blackness and stuff. So no, nothing to Francis. It was more of like being in the room, or like if it was too, I don't want to say political or whatnot.
I know what you mean.
Do you get what I mean? Yeah. So the question's been on my mind. And I think it's also because I didn't know how to really word it.
You worded it fantastically.
Properly. I even wanted to word it completely different, but I was like, this is a bit too black. But like, I remember like one of the things I wanted to ask him was like, you know, like the whole pressure thing, and basically say like, yeah, because you know, with black people, we're always told to work 10 times harder. Mm. But I was like, I don't know how they would take it. And it just brought me back to make me think like, rah, like these are the type of things that we need to think about so much. But I'm really happy and glad that I did, especially as a black journalist in a white dominated sport. But more importantly, I'm happy about how he shouted out some of the players,
I love that.
When he said Italian, I got confused. Yeah, I was like, Paolini? But I completely forgot that Tyra Grant was, I can't remember if she is half Italian or she's born in Italy.
That's a good point. I think her mum is Italian.
I think one of her parents is. Let me just double check now. But I remember seeing Italy, but I just completely, see, it's even Caterina.
Caterina Grant.
She was born and raised in Italy. The daughter of an American former basketball player, Tyron Grant, who actually played it. Yeah. And his mom is an Italian. Her mom, sorry, is an Italian Italian model. She's a model.
Okay.
So yeah, she's born and raised in Italy. So shout out to Tyra Grant. And yeah, it's pretty big for him to be saying that, especially, you know.
And Matthew Forbes too.
Matthew Forbes as well. I'm really happy that he sees the impact and what it does. And like he says, the more of, if he plays and goes further, more black people is going to be playing. Like, listen, so Friday, Arthur Ashe, yeah, them, you know, them spaces is going to be full of us. Even the suites, them rich black people going to pull up.
It's a party.
On Sunday, if we make it through the final, hoo-wee.
Oh,
hey, Hove, you better come and book all them suites.
Can you imagine?
Make an all-black party.
Oh, crazy.
But yeah, shout out to Francis. Shout out to Fritz. Cannot wait for Friday. We still have another semi-finals. I think the other fellas are playing today, correct?
They are. So Sinner Medvedev.
Mm-hmm.
And
Draper.
Jack Draper, Alex Diminor.
Very.
What an opportunity for Jack Draper, man.
So who do you think is making it to the semi-finals from this side?
I'm going to say Draper
mm-hmm.
and Medvedev.
Okay, I think I'm with you with that one.
Yeah.
I'm with you with that
but
one.
But to be honest with you, I've been impressed with Sinner. I know you're not going to like it. I've been impressed by the fact or by how he's managed to kind of, just keep his head down and win through. Like, considering all the kind of stuff he had coming in.
I'm sorry. No, Eugene. I'm not. Do you know why I disagree? Because Sinner has not been getting cooked enough thing.
Well, this is it.
Because if he got cooked the way he should have gotten cooked, this guy would have been out ages ago. He probably would have even pulled out. I honestly feel like Sinner got
an easy got ride.
Way easy. So easy. And
it's an opinion.
Yeah, this is 100% an opinion of mine. And to me, I'm not going to lie, I feel like it's kind of embarrassing for our sport because it shows like, hey, you can get away with anything depending who you are. So
you did speak about.
I did, yeah. So that's why I'm hoping that Med will, Med will go through. I mean, if people who regularly listen to this pod know how I feel, I love Medvedev.
So what do you think the final is going to be then, looking ahead?
Oh, Francis. Or
should we not look too far ahead?
All I know, France is getting there anyways. I don't know about the others. Let's see how today is.
So you're not going to give me a top half finalist?
Top half finalist, looking at now.
I know you're
going
to say.
It's definitely going to be between the Sinner and Medvedev, from the Sinner and Medvedev match. I don't think Draper or Alex will make it to the final personally.
Fair enough.
Respectfully.
I'd love to see Draper.
Which makes sense. I mean, Med, we're talking about these two are Grand Slam champions.
Former US Open champion too.
Yes, exactly. Sinner and Med. So it's not like a disrespect to the other two players, but 100% think it will be one of them too. But hey, it's bloody tennis. There's some people who never thought Francis or Fritz will make it all the way to the semi-finals. So you just never know. But for me, I think it's definitely going to be either Sinner or Med. Whoever's going to win that match is who's going to, get it to the finals. But we shall be there on Arthur Ashe Stadium.
Can't wait.
Before
we close,
yeah,
we need to talk about doubles.
Yes.
We have,
how rude of me.
We have mixed double. We have a story, probably the story of the tournament, you know, in terms of like feel good fairy tale.
That's true.
Donald Young retiring. So he'll be retiring at the end of this tournament.
Which is
so he's not
amazing.
Playing any more pro tennis after the US Open. And he's 35 years old. Former junior world number one, former junior Grand Slam champion. Mm. So yeah, he's playing mixed doubles with our girl Taylor Townsend, and they're through to the final in mixed.
Whoop, whoop.
Which is
we
just
shall be there.
Fantastic. And in that final, they'll be playing Sara Errani and Andrea Vavasori, the Italian seeds. I think they're the third seeds. They're seeded anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Young and Townsend are not seeded, but we know Townsend is a serious doubles player.
Hey, like when I was watching them play, you could see, like, it's like Taylor was the boss. Yeah, Daniel was just like, yes, man.
Even though she's the younger one.
Even though she's the younger one. You could tell like Taylor was the boss telling him, like, hey, come on. Mm-hmm. Which she did actually say in one of her press, like yeah, she's like not playing any games. I think the win from Wimbledon's given her I feel like Taylor's always like the, I don't take any BS from anyone.
Facts.
Energy. That's always been her, but I think she's brought it more into her game. I think she brought it more into her game ever since she won that as well.
Which is understandable.
Yeah, so shout out to Donna Young and Taylor Townsend. We shall be there. Not a lot of tennis players get to retire with a win or even such like a run. A lot of them, they wait till they're out here retiring every time out of a match and then they lose in the third round and be like, yeah, that's my last match. So the fact that Donna Young's been able to do that
Another lefty, that's wild.
Someone that, you know, he knows Taylor since she was a kid.
Beautiful story, man.
Honestly, it's just a beautiful story. So yeah, we're looking forward to that. Make sure that you guys actually are tuning in and watching that. It is going to be on Louis Armstrong on the 5th of September. I don't think they released the time or the schedule yet.
Louis, not Ash.
It's
final.
Louis.
Oh, really?
It's Louis.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not Ash. Well, let me double check.
Townsend
right now,
as well. She's also through to the
semi-finals,
women's double semi-finals with Katerina Siniakova. So they imagine if they go back to back.
Actually, tell a lie. You're right. It is Arthur Ashe.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's
so
the
sorry.
Final. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's Arthur Ashe. They haven't released the time yet, but guys, please tune in. This will be such a great thing to watch.
No, there'll be a crowd. There'll be a big crowd for that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, American.
Like Townsend brings
Townsend,
a big crowd.
Townsend bring the crowd. So yeah, so tomorrow. Well, it's 5th of September. Yes, they'll be playing. And then the semi-finals, which will be today in a couple hours or maybe around the time listen to this pod. Siniakova, Townsend, Zhang, and
You can do it.
Oh gosh, no, this is embarrassing.
You and Adetri, you can move.
You're real for that. but yeah, Christina, I'm not doing it.
You were there.
I'm not doing it. I can't embarrass myself. You say it.
Melendonovic.
And guys, by the way, I did tell Eugene this. After the US Open, right, I'm booking a time, 15 minutes nearly every day, to repeat these players' names so I can get used to it. This is actually embarrassing. I am meant to be a podcaster reporter. I need to say these names properly, right? So next year, January, watch this space. I'm going to be saying the names even better than Eugene. Watch. Believe in me. Stick with me here. But yeah, but we're looking forward to that semi-final. That's going to be on Louis. I think that's what I got confused.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's going to be on Louis.
All finals are played on Ash. So apart from like juniors, I think juniors played on Louis.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, like incredible man from Townsend. Also juniors, Lucy. So we've got Tyra Grant. She's into the quarterfinals in the girls' singles.
Nice.
And Matthew Forbes is also into the quarterfinals of the boys' singles.
Well, she's currently, as we're talking right now, she's currently playing the singles round 16. Looks like she might secure this first set.
Oh, so is it round of 16? I thought it was quarterfinals.
No,
okay.
No, round 16 right now as we speak. So yeah, good luck to her.
Yeah, you're right. My bad. It's actually the round of 16, the third round. So yeah, again, we'll be keeping an eye on those matches. And like, yeah, giving you guys updates as and when. Yeah, Lucy. So I think that wraps up our combined-ish episode.
McNeil is still in the doubles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's playing right now, round of 16, yeah.
Christasha McNeil.
Doubles, yeah, so...
Who's she playing with?
She's playing with... Another American. Capucine Joffret.
American?
American, or? Yeah, another okay. American as well. Nice. So... Good luck to the girls.
Good luck to all the juniors, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, guys, thank you again for tapping in. And yeah, we hope you're enjoying the tennis, man, because we definitely are.
For sure. And we've got a big surprise coming up. True. Something fun coming up soon. True. Stay tuned.
True.
And guys, also, I'm seeing some of the merch are being delivered. Guys, please tag us. Let us see the drip.
Let's see
with Black Spin. I think, yeah, quite a few. Some, I know some of you might be waiting in front of your door. Don't worry. They're being processed. they're on the way. We got you. But yeah, shout out to everyone who got some merch. If you haven't, please, blackspinglobal.com. Cap your merch. Support a black-owned business. but yeah, thank you guys for the support. Hope you guys have been enjoying. Time. And we shall catch you tomorrow for the mixed doubles finals.
Can't wait. Take care, guys.